What's happening? It's your boy 911, tuned in to AVG Podcast. Tonight, man, I got a special guest with me, man. It's family. Got my boy C. Jacobs, man, program director. We just gonna talk about progressive nature, man. I'm gonna let him introduce himself, man, and we just gonna run it, man. You know how we do it. Let's get to it.
Good evening, hey. It's good to be with you, Doc. I'm CJ, program director, KYTKQJO radio station. We want to talk a little bit about progressive nature. Moving ahead, we don't want to talk about degress. We want to talk about progress. We want to talk about mediocrity. We want to talk about what it takes to be at the next level to advance your life.
Yes, sir.
And all, especially dealing with minorities, you know.
Yes. You know,
and not just one set of minorities. I think people get it confused when they hear minority. They just assume black.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't need to just assume black, because minority could be, it could even be, you can be a minority in the white community.
So true.
You have kids in certain parts of Oklahoma or Nebraska who don't even understand what it takes to advance their lives. So,
for real, that's,
you know,
fact.
Let's just jump into some different things that I've experienced, different interviews of people I've interviewed over time. I've been blessed to interview the governor of Louisiana.
That's major too. That's major.
Oh yeah, Doc. It was a blessing. Pretty much every mayor in the state of Louisiana. You know. Different artists,
mm-hmm.
You know, when I say entertainers,
mm-hmm.
And hearing their thought process on how they felt about, you know, just trying to advance their life at all times, not one single moment, but just continually advancing their lives.
Exactly. That's the most important thing, you know, I like to focus on, is not becoming stagnant.
Right.
Because, you know, when you get that sense of complacency, that's when the problems come. When you know when you get to a certain level, and it's even people that are at a high level that they'll tell you, even though I'm at X, Y, and Z level, that I don't want to stop here. They're always continuing to improve. And so, like you said, man, this is a wide range subject. It covers a lot of bases. So it's just one of those things, man, that everybody, I think, can take something from, learn something from, and just try to better your life. Like you said, self-improvement. And so, as you can see, my guest here has come with heavy credentials. This family, first and foremost, is like a big brother to me. Helped me a lot in my early stages in life, me coming back to the A from the military, doing the music thing. That was the soundtrack behind the stuff we was putting out in the early 2000s. So it's an honor for me. But we just gonna jump into a few topics, man. I'm gonna let him kind of, you know, talk about some of the people he's interviewed, some of the experience he just touched on, and we'll just take it from there.
I think, you know, believe it or not, one of my best interviews for me was a state rep.
Yeah.
Ed Lovett the III. That was a beautiful interview.
Gotcha.
And what we talked about in the Central Louisiana area, we talked about what our youth are going through.
Man.
What they're experiencing and why they're experiencing it. And their biggest thing is not being able to talk to each other, understand how to just sit down with each other and have a casual conversation that could easily solve problems just by simply talking. And not just talking to each other, but encouraging each other to be better. See, I think, you know, in the long run, with youth, period, We look at different levels of youth. We have the kids that come from the single parent homes, right?
Gotcha.
Okay, now, we like to say that kids come from single parent homes, they can't make it, but that's a stigma that's false.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all about your mindset.
Thanks.
So you have that kid, mm-hmm. that choose, you know, his choices. Every choice has a consequence.
Thanks.
So You have that kid that decides, I just don't really want to be anything but what I am.
Thanks.
Simply because they choose it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes that's not always the case. Because you also have kids that come from single parent homes where the parents just are totally ignorant about anything, about finances, about even understanding the simplest things as your credit score. People don't even understand. We could go into so many different areas because people think money is important, but your credit is just as important as your money.
Facts.
You know, actually, even more important. And simply because once you can build a line of credit, you can build a line. You can build a line of ideas. Whatever your ideas are, with your line of credit, if you believe it and willing to research it, it's that simple to make it. It's not hard. And then, all right, now that I've hit the single parent home,
mm-hmm.
let's talk about the classic Huxtable style family.
Thanks.
You got the kids that have all the opportunities given to them in the world. And yet, you have a percentage of those kids that's not willing
to make it.
They're not willing to take advantage of what their parents have sacrificed to give them the opportunity to make it.
Man.
You know? And that's not just coming from the African-American side. That's also coming from just in general. So, when people get into, well, you know, the statistics say blah 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 is why my child is doing this. No, your child have a choice if you're willing to push them in the right direction.
Man.
And so, I'm going back to as I was interviewing Representative Loverdan to tie everything in together to make sense of what I'm saying. Basically, communication. If we're willing to communicate with each other, we can bridge a lot of gaps and we can do what we need to do to be successful.
Yes, sir. So speaking, like you say, we both Central Louisiana natives.
Right.
When we talk about opportunities, what do you feel like, and I moved away from the city a while back, but you know I'm still heavily connected there, family still there, come home often.
Right.
Like Drake's song says, hardly home with always ripping.
Right.
What do you think the disconnect is as far as our city officials, the minorities in the city, like you say, black, brown, in between.
Right.
What do you feel the disconnect is? Because when I go home, even just to personalize it a little bit, coming in the home sometime, my son, who's 8 years old at the time, he was probably 7 or 6, he looked like daddy, why everything look close? When I come home, it's like a state of doom. What do you right. feel the disconnect is as far as our city officials and people in position of power and presenting those opportunities to the people that's below the poverty line
right.
and just having an opportunity to expand your mind and see other stuff? What do you feel like the biggest cause of that disconnect is at this point?
It's a couple of things that's really the problem in our city. Right now, we're dealing with a transition of power.
Gotcha.
At one point, you know, you had a majority African-American city council. Right now, you have an African-American mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and in the beginning, you know, it was a lot of ideas that was discussed. Actually, let me go a little further back than that so I can be fair and be objective.
Gotcha.
Before it was a majority African-American city council, before mm-hmm. it was an African-American mayor.
Mm-hmm.
You have Alexandria's divided in, I think, 6 districts.
Gotcha.
You have the councilman at large.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why our city is going to be a good example is because Alexandria is not the only city in Louisiana that has these problems of the map I'm about to draw for you to follow.
Gotcha.
Okay, so in the African-American community, there are no businesses. One reason there are no businesses in the African-American community because crime is very high.
Gotcha.
The reason why crime is very high in the African-American community because it does lack opportunities. You know, for one, you know, I think at one point Alexandria maybe had 60,000 people in the city.
Mm-hmm.
We maybe have 47,000 people in the city of Alexandria. So we see a degressive
mm-hmm.
nature of people. You know, once kids, you know, finish school, if they do finish, they get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no opportunities. You know, we don't have, you know, factories that's coming in at a big rate and willing to invest in that community. But that problem is happening all over America, but it's happening over even more so in Alexandria. Like our hometown is actually rural. people don't understand it, but it's really a rural community. It's controlled by a certain group of people that get all the contracts. And so these kids don't really understand what is needed for them to be able to compete on an even playing field. For one, it's not going to be an even playing field. True. It's definitely not going to be an even playing field because you're dealing with old money. Louisiana is old money, period. So, you know, outside of the metropolitan areas of a Baton Rouge or New Orleans, you can even see the even with the decline in Shreveport, which is has an African American mayor, but yet the decline in revenue, the boardwalk with all the struggles and everything. To tie back into Central Louisiana, because I don't want to go too far out, but I'm trying to tie everything together so everybody can understand what I'm saying about why it's such a disconnect with our kids. Not just our kids, but people in the community that want to make it.
Yeah.
Many of them don't finish high school. Many of them don't even have the... They don't think on the two-year plan, the five-year plan, the 10-year... 5 years from now, I want to be through with college. I want to... Blam, if I'm not here, I'm going to do this. You know, it's hard for them to be active contributors in a community that is controlled by few, when it has so many. In Alexandria itself, 33 1/3% of the African American vote can put whoever they want in office. That's a guaranteed fact. But the problem we have with that is just the African American or the minority community. You have factions within the community that are split on ideas of what it takes to move those communities forward. So let's use example with our police department. Alexandria has a police department where guys drive from out of town to come police kids that live in the most poverty-stricted areas of Alexandria. So you got a guy coming from Timbuktu that don't understand that if this kid just, if you knew the right things to say to this kid, the conversation would never escalate into something that would be detrimental, life-threatening.
Gotcha.
Because it's not community policing.
Have a big problem with that too.
Right, it's big. So, with community policing, you have kids now, you're going to give this kid a charge. So now, once this kid has this charge on his record, it's that much harder for him to have a progressive nature. That's just one aspect with fighting in the community with the council. I think have their hands full on really understanding on what it's going to take to feel these situations. If you don't know me and know how I live, if you don't know that I can eat mustard greens with my fingers, how can you tell me what's the right way to do when I'm disciplining my kid?
Very true statement there.
And so we're dealing with the councilman in our area. Like I said, it's a transition to councilman. So for me to be fair and objective with them right now before I can go into if I think they're going to be fair with the community or not, we haven't seen enough yet. But I'll give you an example. Councilman Reddick Washington, he beat Malcolm Lovin in District 1.
Gotcha.
Okay, my church just had a horrible event. The same thing you guys went through with the winter storm.
Yeah.
Our sprinkler systems broke in the church and everything, water went everywhere. I reached out to Councilman Reddick Washington, and he hit the ground running. He got local Judge Grim Young came in, a sweet guy, and his wife. He had Sutherland's Lumber Company They volunteered to help us. The point I'm making with that is that the councilman, when I reached out to him, he did what it was needed to try to help get it going. And he's in the toughest district in the city.
Gotcha.
Where the kids are killing each other. Pretty much, Alexandria is getting to the point like, you know, from a realistic standpoint, one out of every 4 or 5 days is a murder.
Wow.
You know, and yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and it's young people.
That's crazy.
And
just hearing that number, one out of four.
Yeah.
So just to put that in perspective to people, I know a lot of people live in suburbs or rural neighborhoods or whatever, and you just driving by and you happen to see a yard full of kids playing, a few kids playing, and there's 5 or 6 kids out there playing basketball. Just to put that in perspective, 1 out of those 4 kids within the next couple of days you could hear about on the news. Just to put that in perspective and just let you see how crazy that is, how crazy that sounds to us growing up in this community. That's wild to me.
My wife's nephew was shot in the chest about 3 months ago. Roughly 165 bullet casings on the ground for a kid. That's crazy. The bullets wasn't even meant for this kid.
Crazy.
Just being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Wrong time.
And her other cousin just got, they're burying him today.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally burying him today.
Man.
Louisiana, murder rate. And so my son gets to see it from another standpoint. One of his closest friends got killed yesterday.
Yeah.
The numbers that I'm throwing at you, like, literally.
It's real time.
Yeah. This guy got killed yesterday.
This is crazy.
One of my son's closest friends.
This is crazy.
Yeah. And so the disconnect of, I think, what our councilman is going to have to do, I can tell you what needs to be done. But it's not happening yet because it's a new administration. But what I believe needs to be done is a dialogue needs to be built with these kids. You're going to have to go out there and see them head on. But you're going to have to give them opportunities.
Yes. Voice for the voice.
Right. Why do I want to listen to somebody who's going to tell me you don't have to kill or you don't have to be out here selling drugs, right? But then you're not going to give me an opportunity to work.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, my family have to eat. So, I mean, you want me to go to a community college? Don't get me wrong. Or trade school? Don't get it wrong. Anything that's going to better your life,
go for it.
Is okay.
By all means, go for it.
But are we teaching our kids to be, like we said earlier, even the folks that get to the next level get complacent. So are we going to teach our kids it's okay just to be in trade school? Or are we going to teach our kids it's also okay to want to be the boss?
Man.
I mean, do we want our kids making $30,000 a year? We want to make them $100,000 a year.
Thanks.
You know, let's teach them that it's possible. I don't think a lot of our kids understand that it's possible. It's simply, you just simply have to be willing to want to put a little work in. Nobody gonna give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, we got grandparents that's 40 years old now.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's where some people, just to kind of jump in right here, I think where some people get it confused is they think sometimes the black community is asking for a handout. When if you truly know, not just the black community, anybody in a position where they just want a fair chance.
Right.
Like, we're not looking. If you know us as a whole and as a people,
right,
we are built from the toughest texture on earth. We've always made lemonade from lemons.
That's
so
correct.
We don't need a handout, per se. We just need an even playing field. And
that's
if I go into this job, you don't judge me. I know that right now, not to change the subject too much, but they got the Crown Act flowing around,
right,
where you got guys with dreads or ladies with their natural hair. We shouldn't be penalized at an interview if we walk in and immediately we're disqualified because of the way we look. All we're asking is a level playing field.
That's right.
We should start from the same starting point, and we should have the same goalpost that we're running through the tape from. That's the point that I think a lot of people get confused when black people or people of other skin colors are speaking out and they're saying, I don't have a fair chance. Pull your bootstrap up. Like, one of the famous sayings is, hey, how can I pull my bootstraps up if I don't have a boot?
That's right.
And so what I'm hearing from you, just to kind of bring it back together, is that there's not a clear path of development for the youth.
Right.
So when you're living in an impoverished area and you see every day things are run down, abandoned building, it puts you in an entrapped mindset.
That's correct.
So if you don't see, okay, well, I seen my neighbor, he just went to college and did X, Y, and Z. Or I seen my friend's mom or dad open up a business.
Right.
It puts you in a stagnant place and in just a woe is me mindset because you feel like, okay, well, this is it.
Right.
This is where we level out at. This is where we top out at.
Right.
And for me, being a Louisiana native, being an Alexandria native, like, that's hard for me to accept.
Right.
One of my things I have, like, I've always, even with the music or even with other people that have made, you know, money in other areas or other aspects of life,
right.
we have to dump back into our own. We can't right. look for life jackets from people that's outside right. our community or people, like you said,
right.
that's just going to roll up and talk to us. And you're going to jump in your Benz, BMW, and slide back off right. your side of town or to another neighboring city.
Right.
And we don't see you again
right.
until it's time to, like, you want to shake hands and get votes or something else where you can grandstand and get some accomplished for, but you have a driven agenda already preset before you come to talk to us.
That's right.
And with our community, that's another thing. We have to be able to trust. Like, we're big on loyalty in our community.
Right.
So when you start going down that path with us, you lose us. So right. we have to start forming, in my opinion, a clear path of development. Even with the older folks, like, you can't start with the kids and then leave their parents in a trap mindset.
Right.
So we have to start some type of clear path. And I know, like, you touched on the trade schools, community wonderful outlets, if you're going to truly have something. Okay, well, we got Procter & Gamble can't be the say-all, end-all.
Right.
Everybody can't work there. That's Eventually, correct. They're going to cap out there.
That's correct.
They're only going to have so many job positions. And once you get those type of positions, most of those people are lifers.
That's correct.
So once those plants, and you got a couple other well-known jobs around our central Louisiana area, that once those cap out, they're good. They're solidified for the next 30 years.
Right.
So you have to have a clear path of development to where the youth is not feeling already defeated. Just defeated before they even get out the blocks.
You hit it. Every point you hit, I totally agree on with you. Like, the biggest thing we do face is not an even playing field. But here's the uncomfortable conversation. I say that on this. This is a slogan I use on Twitter with a lot of my white brethren. The uncomfortable conversation that needs to be had is, people, no matter what we do,
mm-hmm.
no matter how we want to do it or how qualified we are,
mm-hmm.
they will refuse to give us an equal playing field.
Man,
it's just...
heavy.
They don't want you to have an even playing field. They don't want you to have the fruits of the labor.
Heavy.
They do not want... They are so distant and so away from the general public, they don't even understand. Let's use this $1,400 stimulus for a perfect example.
Perfect example.
I'm not going to judge Republican, Democrat, or Independent. I'm going to just simply state the facts and let people judge for themselves what I'm going to say. Senator Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said, if we give people $1,400, this is facts, y'all. I don't have to take... If I speak on something, I ask you, please, process it and research it for yourself.
Research it for yourself.
Don't take my word on it. I'm just going to simply give it to you, and you take it for what it is.
For real.
Senator... Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said, if we give people $1,400, it's a possibility they won't want to go back to work. Now,
that's crazy.
As I was listening to that, I had to make sure I heard that right. Are you that disconnected that you think people can live on $1,400?
That's it. We get $1,400, we done made it.
You believe that?
That's crazy. So,
Let's use a responsible CNA in our city, our home city.
Yeah.
Responsible CNA.
Gotcha.
Girl works 40 hours a week. Cleans up boo-boo for a living. She cleans up your mother that was a successful business leader in the city.
Gotcha.
But the CNA is cleaning up your mother now.
Mm-hmm.
She makes maybe $8 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get the calculator now. Let's make sure we get this
facts. Let's give them hard numbers.
Let's give them some facts. So, okay, we got a CNA.
Gotcha.
Job is definitely needed. It's something we have to guess if needed.
Mm-mm.
A CNA is a job that is
like
needed.
Like, they throw the term around since the pandemic, it started essential.
Essential workers. So let's use that. Essential worker.
Gotcha.
Okay, so she makes $8.25 an hour. We're doing this in real time. She works 40 hours a week. That's $330.
Wow.
So she still has to work overtime.
Wow.
So let's give her 10 hours of overtime. So they're going to give her, what, $10 for the overtime for 10 hours. So 10 times 10, $100. She made $440 for the week, okay? So let's go $440. Let's give it benefit of the doubt. She worked 50 hours a week for $440 a week.
We're going to go to high end.
Yeah, so we're going to go 440 times 5. Okay, she made $2,200 for the month, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Louisiana. So we're going to take her 600. No, she got three kids. Mm. So we're going to take.
That's where it gets tricky.
We're going to take her $725 a month rent. So we're gonna subtract 725 from rent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now she's down to $1,475. Now, even with those three kids, now she can't get food stamps because she make over the threshold.
You don't even qualify no more.
You don't even qualify for food stamps no more.
Look how I get dicey.
Yeah, so, all right, so we know they got to eat. So let's... They doing what they have to do. $400. We're going to take $400 out for food. Now, we're talking about a responsible mother, y'all, who really trying to do the right thing. We're down to $1,075. She got to get to work every week.
Mm-hmm.
Her car note is $330 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for a piece, that's for a little crop duster car.
For real.
So, $330. She's down to $740. Oh, I forgot to put the insurance. Mm. So we $745. Okay. Mm. So we're gonna go with about $200 insurance. I'm gonna give them a break, even though I know it's more than that. But I'm gonna make my point. So we're gonna go with $200 insurance for the car. Now, but we forgot about what about insuring her and her children? You know she's gonna need her home.
That's
insurance.
Coming out that check before she
takes. Yeah, before she even we ain't even took no taxes.
None of that.
So we're gonna take $275 out for that, right? She had to clean her clothes. She gotta have washing powder. She have to have the essentials.
Basic, bare minimum.
Yeah, the bare minimum.
Not splurging as we used to
say. We're gonna go $125 bare minimum on just housing equipment. Let me make sure I get that right. We're down to $258. Oh, but I forgot about gas every week. Well, it's going to run about $30, $35, $40 a week.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go 30 times 4, $120 worth of gas. So we're going with $120 worth of gas, $130. But I didn't even mention about what she going to eat while she at work.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what about the kids' clothes? We had $138.
Look, you had $138, and I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in it. Now, you and I, blessed enough, we had family around, good support system. We got parents, we might could drop them off. Hey, watch this, watch this.
Right.
What if that CNA, that mother, or that mother and father, we'll say if she's not by herself.
Right.
Child care. That's a whole nother ball. That check is depleted before it even touches her. Every single dollar of that check is spoken for. Before she makes one single inkling of saying, I need to do something extra. And Lord forbid something outside the norm goes on. We're just calculating the norm. Lord forbid something outside
that
goes on.
She can't work those 50 hours. Whew. We didn't say 40 hours.
We giving her overtime. This is what an overtime calculation
is. And we're not even mentioning we got to make sure the kids need. What about studies?
Man.
What about giving them a fair chance to study? Who's going to actually make sure these kids are doing their work?
It gets deep, y'all.
Yeah.
It gets deep.
We didn't even get into the full scale of it. So, to hear this rich man whose wife has business, don't take my word on this. You research this for yourself, folks. His wife has business dealings in China. Her dad is a well-known businessman in China. Worth millions.
Talking about a fluent background.
Yeah, fluent backgrounds. And we talking about, at one time, this guy was the majority leader of the American Congress for 12 years.
Facts.
8 to 12 years.
Facts.
You know, worth millions. Said to the American public that if you give them $1,400.
That's enough. That's more than enough, basically.
Right.
What he's saying.
And what's scary about that, how I'm going to connect that back to Louisiana, you have people, everyday people, with the uncomfortable conversation that I'm finna have, that are saying they don't deserve
that.
Yeah. And yet they're struggling.
They're struggling.
But just so you can't have, because they simply don't, this is the uncomfortable conversation, but it's the truth, folks. Because they don't want you to have. They're not willing to let you do anything in a progressive nature to make it.
Anything.
So I'm going to tie that back to the thinking of what many of these type folks. I don't want to put one group of people in this category, because it's many groups and factions of people that have
money
this.
Money drives a lot of wicked mindsets.
Yeah.
So this is a free fall. We're not calling any single person out.
That's correct.
Greed has no color.
That's correct.
Has no skin, has no specific hue.
That's correct.
Greed, I've seen it in small circles. I've seen it in bigger capacities.
Right.
Greed is a very ugly monster to face.
That's correct.
And it's the whole point of I got mine and you figure out how to get yours, when most of these people have came from, like you said earlier in the pod, have came from the structure that they benefited off of before they even made a single move in life, before they took a single stride out the starting blocks. They were set, they were solidified, their life path was drawn out. Kind of what I talk about with a progressive path. That was already laid out for them. Your dad's a senator, pretty much you're going to dwell in some type of politics. You're going to fit in that realm some type of way.
That's correct.
Already outlined for your niche. Oh, that's Senator's X, Y, and Z son. Oh, that's X, Y, and Z's daughters. You're going to have a leg up just off that. And we're not complaining. We're not saying, hey, that's wrong. But we're saying, hey, afford us some of those same things that you're getting.
Correct.
And don't penalize us and say we should be able to accomplish that without having that same type of structure.
Right.
And we're coming from even below that set goal that you have, or that set place that you come from, and we're trying to work our way to get to the bare minimum to start.
Right. Just to even get started.
Just to get started. We're trying to go through grants and scholarships. Right. We're working our kids in the ground to try to get to school.
That's right. You're putting us through the ringer with it.
And that's not to even touch on people, celebrities that we had the scandal here lately. They pencil whipping and doing stuff to get, and you already have money.
And you paying your way.
And you paying your way. Like, come on, man.
So that's the.
It's crazy.
It, once again, the uncomfortable conversation.
Very uncomfortable and very real.
I'm asking anybody that's listening to this podcast, you know, that especially anybody that's successful, if you can look yourself in the mirror and you can honestly say, I gave somebody a fair chance that deserved it.
That's deep.
If you can honestly say that,
that's deep.
You have nothing to disagree with us about on this podcast.
At all.
But if you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm not willing. I'm just not willing to. Why should I let you have a chance?
Your face and ear red, now that you who we talking to. You're the audience.
You're the audience we're talking to. You're the guy we're talking to. Because I know a lot of good people.
Yes,
so,
sir.
So, I'm going to close with you on this thing. In order for us to see, not just in our hometown, but on a nationwide scale, in order for us to see success of all levels of people, people are going to have to be willing to admit that there's a systematic problem of racism. You're going to have to be able to look at that ugly thing in its face and tackle it head on and admit there are certain people, no matter what, are just not willing to give you a chance.
Thanks.
Simply for things you said earlier, just because your dreads are long, our beautiful queens have natural hair.
Facts.
You know, but you're just not willing to give these folks a chance simply on their skin color. But as the great Martin Luther said, the content of their character.
Man.
You know?
That's deep.
So, and another quote, I'm going to be through with it on. I would love people to see love between each other.
Man.
Willing to spread knowledge.
That's the end.
Give each other.
That's the end
game. An even playing field.
That's the end game.
And as the great Maya Angelou said, When a person shows you who they are,
believe them.
Believe them, dog.
It's facts there. That's real talk, like y'all say. Man, I want to thank you for coming through, blessing the podcast. You know, as always, when we get together, we can go on for hours. Because this is the type of stuff we rap about offline.
Yeah, like, this has been normal for us.
People want to know, like, if you meet me and, you know, like, what's my foundation? I had a lot of strong people in my life that set me up for this type of stuff. Right. So there's no mistake, like, the path I take and my thought process, because this is the type of people I've always surrounded myself again. So, man, I want to thank you for blessing the podcast, coming in, sitting down with me, man. It's an honor, man. Dropped a lot of knowledge today, man. I hope everybody enjoyed this podcast. And you know how I end it every time, man. I always visualize your goals. And after that, accomplish those visualized goals. 9/11, gone.